You may begin.
Good morning, everyone. I hereby call this meeting of the Michigan State Board of Trustees, Michigan State University Board of Trustees to order. Before we begin our business, I would like everyone to join me in a moment of silence in honor of the nearly 3,000 Americans who died and thousands of others who were injured in the terrorist attack that took place in the United States of America 19 years ago today. Please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. Our first order of business this morning is approval of our proposed agenda. Could I have a motion and a second?
So move.
Thank you.
Support.
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by the same sign?
Aye.
Any abstention? Then our agenda is approved. Next order of business is approval of the minutes from June 26, 2020. I need a motion and a second. Is there a motion to approve the June 26, 2020 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or correction to the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed by the same sign? Any abstentions? Then the approval of the minutes has been completed. We will now move to public participation.
Thank you, President Stanley. We will now proceed to the public participation portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. Any responses from board members will come during the trustee comment portion of the meeting. We will now hear from Stephen Nisbet, followed by Roderick Moyer. Please activate the first speaker. You may begin. Mr. Nisbet, can you hear us?
See his relative who's named after that building.
Can you hear us, Mr. Nisbet? Perhaps we can come back to Mr. Nisbet. Can anyone hear him?
No.
No, I cannot.
Okay. Let's proceed to Mr. Moyer. Mr. Moyer, you may begin. Okay, I just got a message that Mr. Moyer has not joined us. Mr. Nisbet, can you hear us? Would you like to proceed? Okay, let's try Nate Vandentop. Please activate Nate. You may begin.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
You can, Nate, thank you.
Okay, awesome, all right. Well, good morning. Thanks for taking the time to hear me. My name is Nate Vandentop, and I'm a third-year DVM student at MSU College of Veterinary Medicine. I've joined this meeting today to present to the board a petition signed by myself and 55 others in my class requesting tuition relief, 56 in all. That number represents nearly half of the class of 2022, and that number would have been much higher had many students not been afraid of retaliation and discrimination from MSU and their administration. If you'd be so kind, I ask that you read this petition carefully and respond within the requested time frame. In summary, this petition asks for either a future tuition reduction, or a partial refund on past tuition expenses. Our first reason for this petition is that the CVM class of 2022 specifically has been the very first test subject of a new curriculum from day one of our graduate education. This new curriculum has disadvantaged our education in many ways, as outlined in the petition, and has caused grief to many of us as to why we are paying so much for so much less quality education. Secondly, with the current pandemic, online-only protocols, we see our educational value being even more negatively impacted. Learning veterinary medicine is such a hands-on experience that we cannot see how limiting our in-person instruction can at all be reconciled with the same tuition expenses as before. This second point applies not only to our class, but to the entirety of the CVM-DVM student base. We are currently working with representatives of the other classes to circulate another petition to the entire school so that we may show just how widespread and unified of a thought this is. For example, first and second years are now not able to come to campus at all in order to participate in anatomy labs, which are such a crucial part of learning for our future professions. In my opinion, this is equivalent to learning to ride a bike just by reading a book. It's simply not possible, and so this severe decline in educational value cannot be justified by the amount these students are currently paying in tuition. We sincerely hope that you will take serious thought to our request and find it within yourselves to fight for a better educational atmosphere. If students are able to see that MSU cares about making education affordable and actually worth the amount it costs, it will only strengthen the relationship between the two, especially when it comes to school references and donations in the future. Again, thank you for your time, and we look forward to your response. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vandentop. I'd like to go back to Mr. Nisbet. I understand yes. He's connected. Oh, good, you're there. Thank you.
I am here. Great. Thank you.
Great. You may begin.
Okay. President Stanley and board members, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today on behalf of my grandfather, Stephen S. Nisbet. I begin by asking you why it was necessary to tarnish the name and reputation of my grandfather, a very good man who gave much in service for the state of Michigan and Michigan State University, by announcing your decision to remove his name from the MSU building to the national media. What purpose was served by that, and how did it benefit MSU to make such a public announcement? I know now that the information about my grandfather's name on a KKK membership card in Newaygo County came to your attention via the book Everyday Klansfolk. My question to you then is, how many of you have read the book in order to make an informed decision based on the background and politics of the organization in rural Michigan? If you have read the book, you know the author, Greg Fox, described the Michigan KKK of nearly 100 years ago, akin to a benign civic organization similar to the Masons, Moose, or Lions Club in their communities. Many persons were invited to join in those rural Michigan towns. It certainly did not include any of the violence perpetrated by the KKK later in the South, nor did it hold the negative stigma that it does today. My grandfather never spoke about his affiliation, nor did I ever see any evidence of it in their home. I spent much time in my youth and later as an adult with my grandfather and grandmother, and had great respect and admiration for both of them. I saw how highly regarded they were held in their hometown of Fremont. I never heard them speak negatively about anyone or to anyone. It's unfortunate that neither my grandfather nor those who knew, admired, and respected him are alive today to speak on his behalf. I do not know the manner of your investigation, but wish that it had included contact with a family member, my uncle Richard James Nisbet, formerly of Mount Pleasant, now Ann Arbor, could have supplied information relevant to your investigation. I ask, why was he not contacted? Your failure to do so renders your investigation incomplete. Another reason to discount your finding is my discovery of a membership card with my grandfather's name. Although an incorrect spelling of his first name, it is not his signature, and with an incorrect residence address. It is my strong belief that some unknown person completed that card. It was widely known then that persons were signed up without their knowledge. The card does not specifically include the name Ku Klux Klan, but it does say Mason. I know that my grandfather was a Mason, a 33rd degree Mason. My grandfather did not sign the card, then it cannot be used as proof that he was a member. Finally, Stephen S. Nesbitt was very much more than a name on a nearly 100-year-old membership card. His service to the state and this university deserve better treatment than will result if you take the proposed action. I therefore respectfully request that you table your vote until this matter can be reviewed by a professional historian who we have already engaged. Doing that, I realize, will take courage now that my grandfather has been tagged with the incendiary label of Klansman, but an objective and complete review of this of his life is a reason for that being the right thing to do. And I understand that you do have a copy of that membership card so that you can see for yourself the errors in it. Thank you for your attention and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Nisbet. That concludes public comment.
Let me extend my thanks to everyone who spoke this morning. And I now will give my report. I want to talk about the start of the academic year. Our fall semester is fully underway. Of course, it's very different from the past without fall sports, in-person student events on campus. And of course, we're doing most of our teaching remotely. Most of our teaching and learning is taking place remotely. But it's still, it's been great to welcome groups of students, even if in virtual settings. And I was really pleased to participate in our virtual convocation to welcome new students as I start my second year as MSU's president. And I want to thank all the faculty and staff who worked so hard to prepare for our students as they come to campus. I wanted to briefly talk about our enrollment numbers. Final and official numbers will be available later this month. But just for a preview today, the total Michigan State University enrollment is about 50,000 students, 49,875. We have a slight decrease in undergraduate enrollment this year. We're at about 38,675. It's about a 1% reduction from last year. And our entering class, including transfers and summer admits, about 80% of them are Michigan residents and the remaining 20% domestic, out-of-state, or international students. We had been concerned as we came forward this year that we would see a decline in international students, particularly our first-year international students, and that did happen. That number is down several percentage points from last year to about 470 incoming international students. And we attribute that, of course, to concerns about COVID-19 and the inability to get visas for many of our students to come and study within the United States. Our graduate enrollment is down slightly from last year, about 200 students, but very close to our average over the last 5 years. And I'm pleased to say that this looks like it will be, again, MSU's most diverse student body in history. Students of color are projected to be about 25% of our U.S. student total, up a percentage point over last year's numbers. While our enrollment is good news, I'm very concerned about one thing, and that's the significant increase of COVID-19 cases we've seen since we restarted classes. We've reported now, by my count, about 200 cases have been reported among students since August 30th. Essentially, all these cases involve students who reside off campus, and the majority are those who live in group houses, including fraternities and sororities. Most of the cases are attributed to exposures that took place in gatherings, either large, more than 25, or some smaller social gatherings of 5 to 10 people, but key to this, not wearing masks and not practicing social distancing. We have not been seeing cases on campus in the roughly 1,700 students we have living on campus now, or significant cases among staff or faculty. And again, I'm pleased to say that research continues to take place in a safe manner on campus through this summer. And to date, we have had no cases associated with the few in-person classes that we're providing. All of the cases we have seen would have been preventable by following the clear guidelines that we and public health experts have emphasized. Wear a mask, practice physical distancing, and avoid gatherings such as parties, particularly those that take place indoors. I want to emphasize that our community compact remains in force, including consequences for violations of our local and statewide public health orders. And we are in the process of doing interim suspensions from Michigan State University for individuals who have violated the community compact. This includes individuals that have hosted parties and gatherings and those that have refused to cooperate with contact tracing. We will continue working in close collaboration with the City of East Lansing and the Ingham County Health Department in addressing off-campus behavior and public health enforcement. And lastly, I want to remind everyone that what happens right now is going to play a significant role in how we go about deciding about the spring semester. I want to turn now to our Office of Civil Rights report. Among the many important things MSU did since we last met was providing on September 1st our response to the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights Resolution Agreement. We broadly shared our response to the Office of Civil Rights, and relevant documents can be found on our website. In that document, we noted the dozens of changes the university has made to improve our response to violations of Title IX, but also acknowledged that we have more to do. We addressed past policies and clarified mandatory reporting protocols for all MSU faculty and staff as part of the updated RVSM and Title IX policy. In addition, we included detailed scorecards on our website, which list the requirements and actions taking place. We've hired a new Associate Vice President of Office of Civil Rights and Title IX Education and Compliance and underwent a semi-annual review of Title IX grievance processes by an outside firm. And finally, we've reorganized and increased the scope of the Office of Audit, Risk, and Compliance to help us assess and track our progress. Diversity, equity, inclusion remains a key focus on campus. We completed our interviews for the Chief Diversity Officer finalists this week. Each of the four finalists had a chance to interact with leaders, faculty, and staff and students at Michigan State University. Each hosted an open Zoom forum, shared their vision for the position, followed by Q&A. We expect a decision soon, and I know you will join me in welcoming this key leader to Michigan State University. I now want to talk about some additional personnel news. I want to officially welcome our new provost, Dr. Teresa Woodruff. It's been a busy first month for her, 40 days, as she would tell you, as you can imagine. But I've been incredibly impressed with her energy and vision for Michigan State University. She has hit the ground sprinting, and she is already doing amazing things. I know she's going to be a tireless contributor to the mission of the university and an inspiring colleague to all of us. And some bittersweet news, Vice President and Associate Provost for Student Affairs and Services, Denise Maybank, will be leaving Michigan State University to become the Interim Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs Enrollment Management at the City University of New York, the nation's largest urban university with 25 campuses and 500,000 students. An alumna of CUNY's Brooklyn College, Dr. Maybach will lead CUNY's Office of Student Affairs and Enrollment. She joined MSU in 2005, became the first VP for Student Affairs and Services in 2013. She accomplished a tremendous amount in her time here, as we shared in a letter to campus earlier this week. I know the board joins me in wishing Dr. Maybach well and thanking her for her years of dedicated service to Michigan State University and its students. She will be missed. Effective September 28th, Student Affairs and Services units will report to Vice President Benny Gore, who heads Residential and Hospitality Services and Auxiliary Enterprises. And it's part of an engagement to take a look at the best long-term instruction for student affairs in MSU. Provost Woodruff and Vice President Gore will work together and engage students, faculty, and staff in a process of this review. In more personnel news, today I'm asking the board to approve the appointment of Melissa Wu to Executive Vice President for Administration. As you know, with the resignation of Satish from the position, I spent the last year taking the responsibilities as EVPA for the university, and I had the chance to learn about much more about how the university works and assess the challenges of the important groups that report to the EVPA. But I think it's time now to relinquish that responsibility, and Dr. Wu has proven herself a strong administrator of large and complex units. She leads with integrity and is a strong collaborator, and these will be changes we're making to promote greater efficiency and effectiveness to support our academic mission. With the financial challenges brought on by the pandemic and overall challenges in higher education, we needed a new way to think about our financial administrative structure. So while we have Dr. Wu taking on this role of EVPA, I'm also going to recommend to the board the creation of a new position, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. The Chief Financial Officer will be a national search, and the role of this individual will be to evaluate our historical budget model and develop a long-range financial plan. Successful institutions are always growing and evolving, and I believe these changes will help us position us to become more efficient and reach our full potential. I want to talk about some good news. Two entities recently put Michigan State Universities among the country's best for affordability, graduation rate, and alumni career earnings. Money Magazine's Best Colleges ranks MSU in the top 7% in the nation for educational quality, affordability, and alumni success. MSU is number 35, surpassing 8 Big Ten universities and 2 Ivy League colleges. Money says MSU's graduation rate of 81% is 8% higher than expected for students with similar test scores and economic backgrounds. And Washington Monthly's 2020 College Guides ranks MSU number 11 in the Midwest for bang for the buck. Schools are ranked according to how well they serve non-wealthy students. MSU meets the financial aid of more than 70% who apply. Nearly three quarters who need financial aid receive it. And our average merit grant is just shy of $10,000. Two things we can be very, very proud of. I want to conclude my present report today by acknowledging the Nisbet family. I know this current situation is not easy for them, but when it was brought to my attention recently that one of our campus buildings was named for an individual who had possible connection to the Ku Klux Klan, I knew we needed to take action. I brought this concern to the university-wide naming committee and asked for a recommendation. They concluded there was credible evidence that Stephen Nisbet was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and they recommended removing his name from the Nisbet building. I concurred, and we announced our intention. I recognize the unfortunate impact on the family, but our decision is not about Mr. Nisbet's family or even his contributions to educational, public, or corporate life in Michigan. Instead, it's about acknowledging that the KKK has been engaged in extreme racism and horrific violence towards Black Americans from the end of Civil War until today. And we cannot condone a link to the KKK on our campus in the form of this building's name. This specific action will be addressed in our agenda today. That concludes my remarks. We will now move to our next order of business, the gift and grant contract report. Interim Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage.
Good morning. Chairperson Byram, members of the Board of Trustees, I request approval of the awards found in the gift, grant, and contract report. The report period is May 21st, 2020 through August 13th, 2020. The total value for this period is $182,510,542.
Is there a motion to approve the gift, grant, and contract report?
So moved.
Thank you. Support. A second?
Support.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The gift, grant, and contract report is approved. We will now move to the research presentation.
You know, it's always a great pleasure to present the excellence of our faculty to the board in these presentations. And often they focus on STEM and biomedical research. But we also have excellence in the humanities. And today we have a great example of that. So today our presenter is Kathleen Fitzpatrick. She is Director of Digital Humanities and Professor of English. She received her BA and MFA from Louisiana State University and her PhD from New York University, after which she began her career as an assistant professor in English media studies at Pomona College. Her first book, The Anxiety of Obsolescence, The American Novel in the Age of Television, was published by Vanderbilt University Press in 2006. But the experience of publishing that book led her to focus her subsequent research on the ways that new digital novel networks might influence the development of scholarly publishing. In 2011, she published her second book, Planned Obsolescence, Publishing, Technology and the Future of the Academy with NYU Press. That same year, she joined the senior staff of the Modern Language Association, the largest scholarly association in the humanities, as its inaugural director of scholarly communications. During her time at the MLA, she served as managing director of PMLA and other MLA publications, and she oversaw the development of the eighth edition of the MLA handbook. Pardon me. Professor Fitzpatrick joined the faculty of MSU in 2017, where she worked with colleagues in the College of Arts and Letters and MSU Libraries to establish MESH, a research and development group focused on the future of digital scholarly communication. Her most recent book, Generous Thinking, A Radical Approach to Saving the University, was published by Johns Press in 2019. And she is project director of the Humanities Commons, an open access, open source network serving more than 24,000 scholars and practitioners across the humanities and around the world. She is president of the Association of Computers and the Humanities, and she serves on the board of directors of the Educopia Institute and the Council on Library and Information Resources. Please welcome Dr. Kathleen Fitzpatrick.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me here today. I'm going to share my slides so that you can follow along with my talk. I hope that that is appearing for you. And yes. I'll begin. I very much appreciate the invitation to join you this morning and to talk a little bit about the work that I've been doing here at MSU. Higher education today, and especially public higher education, is facing a series of crises that seem to just keep mounting. COVID-19 and its budgetary fallout are only the most recent among them. Now, the causes behind these crises are complex, but many of them can be traced back to a single key shift in American thinking. Where, as a nation, we once professed and at least in some ways acted upon the idea that higher education was and should be a public good, right, serving broadly social ends and deserving of broad social support, we've increasingly since the 1980s been driven to understand higher education instead as a private responsibility, serving individual goals and relying increasingly on private funding. Now, the implications of this shift are far-reaching, but they land us in the precarious situation in which we find ourselves today, in which financial considerations can lead the institution to make decisions that are not in full alignment with its mission, and in which public support for that mission continues to deteriorate. So how do we get out of this mess? I wish I were capable of laying out a solution for you in 6 minutes. Unfortunately, I'm not. But what I can tell you is this. One key, and perhaps even the key, to reclaiming public support, and not incidentally public funding, for public higher education lies in re-engaging the public directly in our mission and in all of the work that we do. In my recent book, Generous Thinking, A Radical Approach to Saving the University, explores a number of different means through which we might reach that goal. But in what time I have remaining, I want to focus in on one in particular, doing our work in public. After all, the public cannot be induced to care about or support the work that we do if they cannot see it. Now, in our traditional system of scholarly communication, researchers make the results of their work freely available, offering their articles to journal publishers without compensation. The benefits that researchers receive accrue in prestige, and the more exclusive the venue, the greater the rewards. But there are two key problems with this system. First, the financial rewards for this work go to journal publishers, who sell the research that's been produced at universities back to universities through astronomical subscription fees. And second, the work is locked away where only those with access to such subscriptions can see it. Now, the open access movement has long argued that knowledge production will benefit from making the products of publicly funded research publicly available. Making more work accessible helps it achieve greater impact and allows the work to be more readily built upon. And open access publishing has direct benefits for institutions as well, helping them undo some of the budgetary damage that's been caused by extortionate journal subscriptions. However, the open access movement seeks not just to make the consumption of the products of research more equitable, but rather to make participation in the production of knowledge itself more equitable, even as we continue to uphold and even advance the forms of peer review that are the hallmark of scholarly work. Now, these goals require us to think beyond access. We need instead to think broadly about how and where scholarly work gets done. And we need to begin by taking a careful look at the platforms that we use for research today, especially at a moment like this, when we are utterly dependent on those platforms for reaching our colleagues, our students, and our communities. We need to consider the degree of control that we have over the platforms that we rely on most, and the extent to which the development of those platforms and the terms under which we use them are in keeping with our deepest values. And this is especially true of the platforms that control not only our publications, but all of the data that we produce on campus. After all, if social media platforms such as Facebook and Twitter have taught us nothing else in recent years, they have without question proven that giving away our data will cost us in the end. Or, as a friend of mine is fond of saying, if you're not at the table, you're the meal. Unless the academy has a voice in the governance of the platforms on which academic work relies today, we will be at the mercy of those who do. So what's the alternative? My colleagues and I have spent the last several years developing an open source, open access, academy-owned and governed platform supporting the work of scholars in their organizations and institutions. Humanities Commons is a network on which any interested user can create an account free of charge and use it to develop a public profile, to participate in group discussions and collaborations, and to use the open access repository to share their work with the world. We have 24,000 registered users who are working in fields across the humanities and in countries around the world who are making their work public and inviting discussion and participation in new kinds of research. The Humanities Commons was originally developed by the Modern Language Association and is this fall moving to MSU. Additionally, a collaboration between the College of Arts and Letters and the MSU Libraries has led to the first Commons instance designed to support an institution of higher education. MSU Commons is open to all MSU faculty, staff, and students in any field. And through this network, MSU is leading the Academy in establishing an expanded knowledge network with a transformative potential to facilitate, disseminate, and preserve new work produced by public and connected scholars worldwide. Most importantly, all of this work is hosted at MSU on a platform that is owned by MSU and that is governed by and accountable to the academic organizations and institutions that contribute to its maintenance. We are grateful to have received significant support for the Commons from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation, and we're grateful for the work that the Modern Language Association did in originating the project. We've recently received a $500,000 infrastructure and capacity building challenge grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. And this grant, which calls upon us to produce a 3-to-1 fundraising match, will result in 7 years of support for the Commons team, enabling us to scale up to include more scholarly societies, more institutions, and of course, more researchers. And this is the heart of real sustainability for higher education today, and one potential step along the path out of the current crises. Understanding that higher education is and should be a knowledge commons, whose assets are held in trust for the public that we serve, calls upon us to invest public resources in infrastructure that we can govern, that will allow us to better direct our own future, and that will help us further our mission of serving the public good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fitzpatrick. That was an outstanding presentation. I'm going to just ask one quick question. And,
absolutely.
First of all, I'm very supportive, and the Commons is a remarkable step forward, I think, for the humanities. As I take a look at my old home in terms of STEM, one of the issues that comes across in the journal publications is it becomes a pathway to tenure, of course, and the quote caliber, I'll put, or, you know, prestige in quotation marks of the journal makes a difference. How does peer review kind of enter into the Commons and what gets posted or not posted, or is it not an element of all at all?
It is an extremely important element of a lot of the work that's taking place in the Commons, because researchers are able to reach one another and get feedback on their work directly from one another. We're actually taking that process of peer review and opening it up a bit. In fact, Generous Thinking, my recent book, went through an open peer review process on Humanities Commons. And so with the blessing of my press, we posted the entire draft manuscript. And instead of getting, you know, 3 readers' reports on the book, I had almost 40 readers in commenting and giving me feedback. And that peer review is now part of the public record. It's visible. You can see what they commented on. You can see how my revisions developed out of those comments. And so it makes that entire process of scholarly exchange part of the work that we do rather than something that's hidden behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, that's extraordinary and extraordinarily courageous, I think, in some sense on your part, but that I'm very impressed by that.
Well, thank you.
Anyone else have additional questions for Dr. Fitzpatrick? All right, hearing none, thank you so much again for that presentation.
Thank you very much.
Work and,
thank you.
Helping you get the support you need for the Commons. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, our next order of business then is to move to our personnel actions and information reports. Provost Woodruff.
Trustees, I present for your approval the items in the September 2020 list of personnel actions. This includes the appointment of one new tenured faculty member, a tenure recommendation for Dr. Aaron Purcell in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering, the appointment of Dr. Melissa Wu as Executive Vice President for Administration, the recommendation of a change in title from Vice President for Auxiliary and Enterprises to Senior Vice President for Residential and Hospitality Services and Auxiliary Enterprises, and the creation of an executive management position of Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Also included in your materials are information reports for academic personnel actions.
Thank you. And I'll just make a quick comment. I should have mentioned in my report that creation of the senior vice presidents for Vinnie Gore, who's done such an outstanding job as vice president for auxiliary services. I may not have mentioned that in my initial report. So is there a motion to approve the personnel actions?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The personnel actions are approved. Thank you so much, Provost Woodruff. We now move to committee reports and other items requiring board approval. Trustee Melanie Foster will now present the committee on budget and finance report.
Thank you, President Stanley. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby establishes a fund functioning as an endowment entitled RCS Enrichment Fund.
Can I have a second for that?
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby establishes a fund functioning as an endowment entitled Jamie Daniels Memorial Scholarship.
Could I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby approves a construction and completion assurance agreement, a conveyance of property, a lease, and an easement agreement, if necessary, for the MSU STEM teaching and learning facility as reflected in Attachment 3.
Could I have a second of that motion?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the issuance and delivery of general revenue refunding bonds as reflected in Attachment 4.
Could I have a second of that motion?
Second.
Support.
Thank you.
All right.
No, that's okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
This concludes my report.
Thank you. Next, Trustee Diane Byram will present the Committee on Academic Affairs report.
Thank you, President Stanley. The Academic Affairs Committee recommends, and I move to approve, the amendments to the bylaws for academic governance included in Attachment A.
Could I have a second of that motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Academic Affairs Committee recommends, and I move to approve, the changing the name of the Nisbet Building to 1407 South Harrison. I want to also acknowledge the comments in public comment period of Mr. Nesbitt. The process the university undertakes when dealing with naming comes from a naming committee. And there's a recommendation to the Board of Trust, or to the president of the naming committee, and then that recommendation is forwarded to the Board of Trustees for any appropriate action. That brings us to the motion that is before us today. So with that, I move the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second with a comment.
Okay.
I agree with the process. It is a recommendation to the board. It's unfortunate, given the comments from the family members, but I'm satisfied that the appropriate steps were taken by the college and the research into it. It's a difficult decision for me, but I'll support it.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
I'd just like to make a comment that I will support it, but that I'd like to recognize that Mr. Nisbet did support the presidency, the appointment of Dr. Clifton Wharton, who is the first African-American president of Michigan State University. And he did not receive unanimous support from his board, but Mr. Nisbet was one that did support him.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Motion's been called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
The Academic Affairs Committee recommends, and I move to approve, deaccession of the MSU Museum items D2017.1-294, D2018.1-148, and D2019-1-64 listed in Attachment A. And I would note that this is an annual process, and it is regulated through the federal government, through federal law.
Thank you. We have a motion. Could I have a second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
This concludes my report, Mr. President.
Thank you, Trustee Byron. Next, we will have a report from the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance by Trustee Dan Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move the board hereby approve the following: an option agreement with 3D Foundry, Inc., a service agreement with Fibro6, Inc., a license agreement with Lansing Biosciences, LLC, a service agreement with National Pesticide Safety Education Center, a license agreement with Scion Plasma, LLC, and an amended license agreement with XG Sciences, Inc. All of the agreements are consistent with earlier public notice at prior board meetings, and the related term sheets are presented to the board for inclusion in the minutes.
Thank you. We have a motion. Could I have support?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor of the resolution, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I announce the university's intent to negotiate contracts with Dr. Christopher Contag, Dr. Anna Moore, and ExoForce Robotics, Inc., Dr. Prey Majit Chahal, and PhD students Deepuk Kumar, Sait Kat Mundal, and Eric Terrelson, ZYX Sense, Inc., and Dr. Prey Majit Chahal, PhD students, Deepuk Kumar, and Sait Kat Mundal, and ZYX Technologies, LLC.
Thank you. We have a motion. Could I have a second?
So moved.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
I'm sorry.
Any abstentions? Motion carries.
That concludes my report.
Thank you so much, Trustee Kelly. Next, we'll have a report on the Committee on Student Life and Culture from Trustee Brianna Scott.
Thank you, President Stanley. The Committee on Student Life and Culture reviewed the exciting Juneteenth presentation from Drs. Wanda Lipscomb and Ruben Martinez, special advisors to the President for Diversity, and discussed the CDO search and the Counseling and Mental Health Services Fund. At this time, Provost Woodruff will now present the launch of the academic year.
As the academic year begins, safety continues to be our priority. While we've all had to make the difficult decision to shift to nearly all remote learning this fall, and to ask the majority of our students to live away from campus, we are working hard to provide a high quality and engaged experience for all students wherever they are. In this way, we are ensuring both the physical health and the intellectual health of our teachers and learners. In this video, you'll hear updates from five MSU leaders about the launch of the academic year. Dr. Norman J. Beauchamp, Jr., Executive Vice President for Health Sciences on Health and Safety. Vinny Gore, Vice President for Auxiliary Enterprises on Living and Dining for those who are on campus this semester. Dr. Mark Largent, Associate Provost for Undergraduate Education and Dean of Undergraduate Studies on Undergraduate Learning. Dr. Thomas Yetzko, Associate Provost for Graduate Education and Dean of the Graduate School on Graduate Learning. And Dr. Denise Maybank, Vice President and Associate Provost for Student Affairs and Services on the student experience outside the classroom. This coming year will be like no other in many ways, but my goal and the goal of everyone at MSU is no different than any other year, and that is to provide a world-class education.
Our work in reopening began recognizing that the product of our efforts needed to be built on the foundation of our values. We were asking students, faculty, staff, and the community to trust that our decisions would be first and foremost about their safety. To get it right, we needed every voice, every expertise. We needed to learn from each other and with each other in addressing challenges never before faced. We needed to be transparent and inclusive, trusting and forgiving. We needed new levels of partnership and innovation. I could not be prouder of who we are or how we have advanced. While undergraduate education is online, we still have a significant population on campus every day. Ensuring that those students who required a safe place to live and to study would have that. We are devoted to making sure that we protect our students, faculty, staff, and community today and going forward. We've ensured PPE and cleaning supplies adequate for what is being asked. We've mobilized MSU Healthcare to provide screening, an information hotline, and a mechanism to use CLIA-approved tests. We've ensured the capacity to test all individuals that require a diagnostic test. The COVID-19 early detection program is underway campus-wide throughout the fall 2020 semester. And we have a sewage surveillance program that enables us to monitor the entire campus in so many, many other ways to keep everyone safe. Ultimately, we came together as one Spartan academic community. And quoting Helen Keller, alone one can do so little, together we can do so much. We move forward, never more together than we are right now. Thank you, dear colleagues, so very much.
Good morning, President Stanley, Board of Trustees, Provost Woodruff. Thank you for the opportunity to share an update. Since March, RHS has remained open and operating with student safety and success in mind. As we begin the fall semester, our team members continue to put safety of our students first to ensure success in their academic career. Fall 2020 move-in was like no other we ever experienced. A typical move-in on Saturday, we see 1,000 students moving in across campus in 1 hour. This year, we saw maybe a total of 1,000 students each day, Sunday and Monday. In order to keep students safe, and everybody safe for that matter, we implement a contactless check-in, ask students to bring no more than two helpers, sanitize our famous green cards after each use, and provide delicious box meals. Over 850 team members provided their time and talents to make sure this group of students with the need to be on campus felt welcome. Fall semester, we are only operating university apartments and suite-style residence halls with one student assigned per suite. UFest became digital, providing entertainment to our Spartans. I'd like to thank the University Activities Board. Going forward, we will provide self-isolation quarantine housing at the Kellogg Hotel and Conference Center. So when we made a decision to be online for the fall, Mark Largent in undergraduate ed, along with Janine Royal, partnered along with Corey Newman Coronado to develop a virtual program to support our students, which we call the Circle of Success Program, because we believe the first-year student experience is critical for students and their success academically and socially. More than ever, it is important for us to deliver outstanding Spartan experience, because we believe that having an on-campus experience is essential for their growth and development as students and as people who are going to serve the world as Spartans will.
I'm happy to share that 38,675 undergraduate students enrolled at Michigan State this fall. Over the last 6 months, we have made faculty development a top priority. This summer, over 1,000 faculty members undertook intensive professional development training to better design and teach online courses, labs, and studios. Last month, we made that training available for free to Michigan's K-12 schools. 15 districts used it to provide training for more than 1,000 K-12 teachers. To support our students navigating so much uncertainty, we have implemented a new campus-wide online mentoring program called Circles of Success. Each first-year and transfer student is offered a professional and a peer mentor as part of this program. We are also surveying all of our students, asking them about living situations, finances, internet access, technology needs, and more, because we're committed to actionable feedback directly from students to address their needs one by one during this very difficult time. It is clear that many of our students are disappointed that they had to move undergraduate classes online and reduce the number of students living in residence halls. Like all of us, they yearn to be back on campus living and learning together. It's equally clear that students are as committed as we are to creating a memorable Spartan experience. They've connected to each other online, forming clubs and joining student organizations. And they've even publicly shared their schedules with one another to find and meet their classmates. Faculty, staff, and students are approaching these challenges with grace and empathy. The work we have done throughout this crisis is critical to our success for our students and for our institution. It embodies the spirit of a land-grant institution, and it is a beautiful expression of what we mean when we say Spartans will. Thank you.
While starting off a bit differently this year, I'm pleased to report that our advanced degree student numbers are pretty stable compared to prior years, at least from what we know at this time. One difference is that of the roughly 1,800 newly incoming master's and PhD students, about half are here from Michigan, whereas in years past, we attracted slightly more from outside Michigan. Indeed, more than half of our 8,100 master's and PhD students are from outside Michigan. Also in line with our recent past, about 57% of our graduate students are women. Looking across all students pursuing advanced degrees, our numbers are also stable at about 11,200, including the law students who are now formally MSU degree-seeking students. Over the past few months, we have consistently modified and adjusted to the pandemic. Our trainings included a synchronous international GTA preparation session with more than 100 attendees, nearly half participating from outside the U.S. A new GTA Institute session in which students learn from representatives from the graduate school, our campus partners, and from policy leaders across campus. And our pedagogy workshops had more than 500 registrations for new, returning GTAs, and any other graduate student. Our assessment data revealed that GTAs perceived these workshops as a great way to start their GTA role here at MSU. These workshops were recorded, and many mentioned that they would refer back to the D2L modules as needed. In direct response to COVID-19, the graduate school directly disbursed funding to graduate students for travel expenses and assist with canceled flights and hotels or returning to the U.S. from abroad, while also supporting colleges to disperse funding to graduate students during the spring and summer semesters. We were able to provide emergency aid, travel funding, mental health support, and more, totaling in excess of $250,000. The dedication and creativity that everyone has shown during these circumstances are what will lead to our success this year. The graduate school will continue to support our students, our research mission, and our commitments to outreach and engagement. Together we will.
As the world pivots, in the classic tradition of the soap opera and the novella, welcome to Spartan Corners, where a record number 11,521 new students, graduate, undergraduate, and transfer have come to learn, grow, and develop so they can change the world. While we remained physically distanced and socially engaged, the world took a pivot. And we would not be deterred from going forward with Fall Welcome 2020. Meet Lexi, Spartan Corners' Brady Bunch panel rep, who has had to meet people in the multi-view screen format.
Being able to be a part of this webinar was really good because during these times we've been unable to interact with people the way that we're used to and kind of feeling disengaged. So being able to make connections and form bonds with new MSU students and returning ones was a really good opportunity, and I'm very grateful for it.
And here is Ricardo, the town's fully engaged member who has used the Easy Virtual Fair platform for the Sparticipation experience.
I very much enjoyed talking to them because I got to meet with them more on a personal level and engage with them more thoroughly, given that I wasn't surrounded by other booths and other organizations in there talking. But overall, I thought it was a great experience.
No episode would be complete without Brandon, an incoming freshman, recounting the energy of the Spartan Spirit Pep Rally.
Virtual Pep Rally was a great experience. I felt physically connected with this rally, even though it was virtual, because I saw so many different organizations and sports, and it truly felt like a community.
And we need you to know, Spartan Corners experienced lower than usual activity in the nearby neighborhoods, as validated by our local law enforcement agencies. Density was down this past weekend as many of the locals left town for the Labor Day weekend. For the period of August 31st through September 8th, there have been a total of 24 noise citations and 3 emergency order violations issued in the community. No matter what we had to do to pivot, life in Spartan Corners is off to an exciting start. We know this will be a different kind of semester, and we know it will be something big. This episode of As the World Pivots is brought to you by Physically Distanced, Socially Engaged. Remember, it is your personal responsibility.
Well, thank you so much to our MSU leaders, as well as the students who are part of this video. As we close, I want to add a special thank you to our MSU deans who lead our great colleges, and to the faculty, graduate students, academic specialists, postdocs, clinical communities, and the MSU staff for keeping the MSU light shining brightly. Because of your efforts, we're offering 3,400 different courses and related support services to our students who are learning literally around the globe. On behalf of President Stanley and myself, our sincerest thank you to every member of this great MSU family. Since 1855, there have been many national and global challenges to the contemplative life of an academic, but through it all, our MSU community has found innovative ways to step up and maintain our commitments to academic excellence and student success. Together, you have all demonstrated that indeed Spartans will.
Thank you, Provost Woodruff. I believe that this concludes our student life and culture report, President Stanley.
Thank you, Trustee Scott. So we will now move to the chairperson's report and trustee comments, beginning with Chair Diane Byram.
Thank you, President Stanley. I want to start by welcoming our students, faculty, and staff to fall semester. To our freshman class, I especially want to say welcome to each of you. You're Spartans now, and I look forward to following your success over the next 4 years as you learn and grow. Dr. Denise Maybank, thank you for your 15 years of service to the MSU community, and I wish you well as you return home to your home community in New York City and join the CUNY system. I've enjoyed working with you over the last several years, and I am clearly going to miss you. Provost Woodruff, welcome to MSU and to your first board meeting, day 41 in your position as provost. And congratulations on recently being named a recipient of the Endocrine Society 2021 Laureate Awards, top honors that recognize the highest achievements in the endocrinology field. I also want to welcome Dr. Quinetta Roberson, who joins MSU as the next Hannah Distinguished Professor with a majority appointment in the Broad College's Department of Management and a minority appointment in the College of Social Sciences Department of Psychology. Dr. Roberson's research is focused on diversity and organizational justice. I want to acknowledge and thank the faculty for the excellence you continue to represent every day, as illustrated most recently by the clean accreditation report from a mid-cycle assurance review conducted by the Higher Learning Commission. As examples of the excellence of MSU faculty, I want to identify two faculty members who have recently been recognized. Tim Voss, professor and director of MSU School of Journalism, became president of the Association of Education in Journalism and Mass Communication. The AEJMC is the field's leading research, teaching, and service organization. Dr. Mona Hannah Atisha, who's been named one of USA Today's Women of the Century to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. USA Today established a list of 100 women who have made an essential impact on our country and on the lives and our lives over the past 100 years. And finally, I want to conclude my comments with encouraging students to get engaged with MSU Votes and make a plan on voting this fall. There are resources available to help you get registered to vote, to fill out an application to vote absentee, or to answer your questions about the elections. Check out msuvotes.msu.edu. This is a time of activism across our nation, and your vote is your voice. Be heard and put action to your voice by exercising your right to vote. Thank you, and this concludes my report.
Thank you, Trustee Byram. Vice Chair Kelly, would you like to comment?
Just very briefly, I want to welcome the new provost, say goodbye to Dr. Maybach. It was a pleasure to get to know you, and welcome everyone to the new year. It's certainly an interesting year, and I look forward to the time when we can all get back together in person, and thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Ferguson?
Yes, I'm sorry I was behind Trustee Kelly, because I wanted to, I don't want to sound like a parrot, but I want to really welcome you, Provost Woodward. And I feel that you working with our president will be a tremendous team, keeping Michigan State moving forward. Denise, we're going to greatly miss you. But we won't miss you as, in one way, because what you've done, you've really set a foundation for so many things to happen based upon you being here. So while you'll be physically leaving, you will still really be here. And I want to say this to Vinnie Gore. I used to always hear people say, if you want to get something done, get a busy person. And so I can see why President Stanley has widened the scope of your duties and everything else, because every place you've been outstanding. So our best years are still ahead of us at Michigan State.
Thank you. Trustee Foster?
Yes, thank you. First, I'd like to thank President Stanley. It's been, you know, an unprecedented year here, and thank you for your service. And also thank you for your service as serving as the Executive Vice President of Administration for the past year or so. Congratulations to Melissa Wu being appointed as the Executive Vice President of Administration. I look forward to working with you in that role. Welcome to our new provost, again, Teresa Woodruff. You're 41 days here, and we're looking forward to you know, many, many years to come with you. I'd also like to thank Paulette Granberry Russell for her 22 years of service as the Director of the Office of Inclusion and International Initiatives. She has functioned as MSU's Chief Diversity Officer and has worked tirelessly in that position to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion across campus and beyond. And I'd also like to thank Terry Curry, who is now serving as a consultant to the Provost Office, but he had a career spanning 44 years at Michigan State University and is leaving the office as the Associate Provost and Associate Vice President for Academic Human Resources. Besides the advice and counsel that he has provided to deans, chairpersons, and other administrators, he has been an important resource for faculty, academic staff, executives, and academic governance. So thank you, Terry. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and working with you for so long. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Trustee Kanaki?
Thank you. Hi, good morning. So I want to begin by also thanking President Stanley and Provost Woodruff. Welcome. And thank you both so much for all of the work that you've been doing and all of the administrative leadership of Michigan State to get ready for the start of this school year. Thank you to faculty and staff who have revised the curriculum completely and changed everything about what they're doing. But one thing that hasn't changed is the incredible quality education that our students at Michigan State are receiving. I also want to welcome back students or welcome our students to the Michigan State community for the first time for our incoming classes. Thank you for your patience and your resilience. And importantly, I appreciated the comments hearing from students in the public comment period this morning. And I encourage students to continue to give us feedback. I've observed extraordinary efforts on the part of faculty to maintain and even improve upon the quality of education, but that doesn't mean we can't continue to improve. And the best way to do that is hearing from you. So please keep sharing that feedback. And last, everybody, let's just keep masking up, maintaining social distance. The more we can do it, the sooner we can all be back together again.
Thank you. Trustee Masalam?
As my Wi-Fi broke down here and I'm sitting in my car finishing a board meeting, we're obviously in uncharted water and very different times. My kids are online. We're having IT issues there, so my apologies. But, you know, I too want to echo President, what many have said, President Stanley, your leadership during this pandemic has been nothing short but spectacular. I think Michigan State's been a leader in the region as far as this response to the pandemic. Regardless of all the politics, I would encourage all of our students to get out and vote and find ways to vote this year. I think this election is probably the most important election of our lifetime. I also want to welcome Dr. Woodruff. It's a pleasure working with you these past 41 days. And Dr. Maybank, wishing you the best of luck as well as you move on to greener pastures, or, you know, so we think, so we hope, right? You know, I also I also want to thank my colleagues. We had some discussions yesterday about the mental health fund and some of the kinks and some of the issues that we're having. And I really appreciate everybody working together, trying hopefully to resolve this and get this thing done the right way, so this process becomes less cumbersome on survivors, as well as we're able to use some of this money and make sure that it goes it does not go unused. And and one last comment, I'm getting a lot of requests about the privileged documents and how far I am in reading them and stuff, and I've taken some public positions on the privileged documents issue. And so I've called some of my colleagues prior before I made some of these public positions, but just in case you haven't seen anything that I have said publicly regarding the 6,000 privileged documents, due to the health reasons and within my family, it's been difficult getting through them, but I have been getting updates from some of the trustees that I trust. But just so we're clear, I fully support the release of those documents. I think ultimately for this university, for the cloud of transparency to leave this university, we will ultimately have to release these documents. So as soon as all legal and insurance, legal claims and insurance claims are settled, I fully support the release of these documents. And I've articulated that to several of my colleagues. So I just wanted to make that clear. I wish everybody a safe day, mask up and be safe and socially distance. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Scott.
Thank you. I just wish, as everyone has said before me, to thank President Stanley just for his consistent and well-informed leadership in making all of the difficult decisions that he's made, including the most recent in halting our in-person undergraduate instruction this fall and moving classes online. I feel like we are in very good hands, having an MD as our president and one who really understands what we're going through in this pandemic. And I just want him to know how greatly I appreciate everything that he's done. I know this probably wasn't the environment he thought he would have going into his second year, but we are so grateful for everything he's done and just to keep up the good work. And I also wanted to just really express some appreciation as well to our faculty, who are, in my opinion, showing a lot of innovation and persistence in helping us to get through this new learning environment. Our staff that are working as well, most remotely, and ensuring that all of our students and our employees also have the support that they need. And also our student body that's been, doing everything that they can to uplift each other and to follow the new protocols that we have so that we can hopefully return back to campus. So I just wanted to thank them as well. I'm a little sad today. I have a sore throat. Hopefully it's not COVID. Gosh, I don't think it's COVID, but not feeling the greatest this morning. But I do want to say that I'm really sad this morning to say goodbye to Dr. Denise Maybank. She's just been an incredible support to me as I came in as a trustee. But even before me, so many students, I would say thousands of students, past and present, who have gone to MSU have been inspired by her, helped by her, consoled by her in some way. And I just have to say that I recall back in 2018 when I went to approximately 9 graduations, and I always would see Dr. Maybank lingering. She'd always be in the tunnel lingering and kind of waiting for students to pass by so she could give them hugs and extend, best wishes to them. And students would even wait in line to hug her. And I just think that shows the impact that she's had in students' lives. And she's just been so committed all of these years to our student population. She's going to be greatly missed. I do wish her success, although she's leaving us. And I just want her to know that I thank her very much for everything she's done. And also to welcome Provost Woodruff, who has basically hit the ground in the cloud since we're in a virtual world running, and has really impressed me. I look forward to getting to know you better. I feel that our academic goals, our strategic plan, and budgeting according to our strategic plan are going to go really well with someone with your experience and background at the helm. So I'm looking forward to great things from you as well. And we saw the program earlier about this Circles of Success program online when they did the video. And I just want to say that I think it's an absolutely great idea that was put together by I think it was Benny Gore and President Stanley, because this really gives our first year students the professional and mentoring support that they need. I believe that it's going to be important to help them navigate this transition, as freshmen always have, you know, coming into a new environment, even though it's remote, it's still different from high school. And I think it's going to help with their academic success. And ultimately, I think it will help MSU to retain our students. So that's also very important. And as has been said before me, I just want everyone to mask up. I really am tired of Zoom. And I'd like to get back on campus to see everyone and have hugs and stuff like that. So let's do what we can to keep each other safe so that we can make it back on campus. Spartans will. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Teabag.
Man, I really hate having a high letter last name. So I could just say ditto and we could be done. But I just want to, again, echo Trustee Scott about the Circles of Success program. I'm very excited about the creation of this mentorship program. And I really hope that anyone that's involved in it will make sure to give feedback. I want this program to be successful and for us to continue on with it. We had a lot of conversations at James Madison when I was there about how important it is to have that mentorship from upperclassmen and staff and faculty on campus. And I know living in a residential college, I definitely had a lot more people to go to in such a small space. And I think this is a great program. I'm really excited about to see where it goes in the future. I just wanted to say again, thank you to Dr. Maybank. I'm going to miss your energy. You are one of my favorite people to walk into a room and just watch how the room changes as soon as you walk in. And so I hate that I cannot see you right now. And again, with like Trustee Scott said, it sucks. I just wish I could see your face to say goodbye and just wish you well. You will be missed here, and want to thank Benny for everything that he's done. And I think that Dr. Maybank's department will be in good hands in the interim under you, as you are such a great leader and the master of pivoting and figuring things out throughout this entire process. And I also wanted to say thank you to Dean Yaitko for being our other interim provost before our Provost Woodruff came in. We were in very good hands until we found Provost Woodruff, and we're excited to have you here. And thank you. And I hope you keep counting how many days you've been here so we can celebrate how many days we've had you with us. And also, I wanted to extend gratitude to Dr. Beauchamp for all of the work that you have done with Dr. Stanley and making sure that our students and our faculty and staff are safe, and that we are continually figuring out different ways to do things. And I also, you're my favorite part of going to Meyer, is hearing your voice overhead. So thank you for all that you've done. I continually get excited about all the different ways we're doing testing and the decontamination of masks and those types of things. And so I know your leadership is very much important to our success here at Michigan State. And then lastly, I just want to thank the faculty and the staff and the students for your ongoing patience and continuing on with that. I know this is frustrating. I know all of us miss our in-person interactions. And I just want to state that I don't think we should socially distance at all. We need to physically distance, but continue to be socially engaged and taking care of one of each other and checking in with each other. Also, wear your mask and wash your hands. And so thank you all so much.
Thank you. That concludes trustee comments.
Well, thank you so much to all the trustees. Those are really inspiring words. And I think all of us, on behalf of the university, I thank you for your appreciation of the work that people are putting in. I think it means a lot for us to hear it from you. So thank you. So hearing, unless there's any new business, anybody else have any business they want to present?
I just want to shout out Dr. Beauchamp as well. I don't know how I forgot him, but yeah. Out. And to our awesome general counsel, who's just doing his thing. So we're in good hands.
Yeah, we'll mention him by name, Brian Quinn, doing an excellent job.
So, yes, thank you.
So is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll move. Oh,
support.
Thank you. Second?
Support.
Thank support. You. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Bye.